6 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I'm Brady Hull. We've got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Good to be back in studio, hopefully all week, Angel. I am definitely a traditional radio guy where I need to be in my little box of safety here where there's not people. And last week I was out 2 days. I did the show remotely from my home office on Wednesday because of the snow. And then Friday, which I love being out at Crazy Carl's Pizza, don't get me wrong. But you just do a 3-hour show over the lunch break while there's pizza being served nonstop. It's very tough to do. Very difficult. And I don't want to eat during the show because you can't fully enjoy everything. You're scrambling to shove pizza down your throat and then you sound kind of weird. So that was a test on Friday for me. That was a big test. And then at 2 o'clock, you're starving. And so you just order as much pizza as you possibly can. And at the end, you feel like you're going to die. So it was good. It's good to be back, though, in studio. That was fun, though. We were out Friday for the Isaiah Stevens show for the most part to talk about his chance of breaking the record against Wyoming. He did do that. Congratulations to Isaiah Stevens. He broke the assist record for Colorado State. He passed up Ryan Yoder at 530. Stevens now has 536. So now it's all about putting some distance between himself and that record. And we'll talk about CSU a little bit. That Wyoming-CSU game. 3 minutes in, it was 1-0. I mean, it was bad for a while. And it ended up being a pretty low-scoring game anyway. 58-57, pretty low-scoring college game. So we'll talk about CSU, the UNC Bears. They've won 2 out of the last 3, suddenly. So I was going back and forth with Steve Smiley on Saturday night, head coach Steve Smiley, and he said, Bears played well. There's another gear in us that if we can find it, we can still make a run when it counts. Got to find it, though. How about Dalton Connect? He's finding it. That's my player of the week, by the way. The whole show player of the week is Dalton Connect of the UNC Bears. His last 2 games, even in the loss to Eastern Washington, he had like 23. He had 34, career high against Idaho. Dalton Connect has taken over for the University of Northern Colorado. The Bears won over the weekend 73-67. Dalen Kuntz was good. He had 21. He had, 40-plus in his last 2 games. So he's been solid. But really, it's Dalton Connect's putting up monster numbers. He's kind of a focal point of that offense. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. The coaching search for the Broncos. Sean Payton. That's the poll question today. Where's Sean Payton going to be next year? The Panthers head coach, the Broncos head coach, the Cardinals head coach, the Texans head coach, or the Cowboys head coach, or back at Fox. I was watching the post game after the Niners Cowboys game, and Johnson was up there talking about Jimmy. Is it Jimmy? Jimmy Johnson? Wow, Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, a lot of J's. He was talking about who's going to be like D'Amico Ryans and Dan Quinn. He said it right sitting next to Sean Payton, or 2 guys down from Sean Payton, and he said it. D'Amico Ryans and Dan Quinn will be head coaches somewhere next year. And you kind of pan over, and Sean Payton just kind of gradually looks over. So I'm just thinking, okay, are those guys going to get chosen over Sean Payton in some respect? Because Dan Quinn, I think, is hot and heavy with the Broncos, right there with Sean Payton. Maybe Sean Payton's up there higher. I don't know. I have news on that. I have stories on that. And then, you look at D'Amico Ryans, and I don't know if that's going to make sense for the Broncos because they're not really wanting to go first year necessarily, unless it's David Shaw. But he had a lot of coaching experience with Stanford, whatever. So I just thought that was interesting because right next to him, he's like, oh, they're going to be head coaches. How many real vacancies are there? Are there 4? Cardinals, Texans, Panthers, Broncos. Those are the ones, right? Colts, I guess. Why does no one talk about the Colts? Why? Nobody's talking about the Colts opening. We're talking about the Panthers opening more than the Colts opening. Jeff Saturday's not going to get that job, is he? I can't imagine. So I guess there's five, maybe six, if the Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy. And I thought he was safe, but you score 12 points? And I get it. It's the Niners. That's the best defense right now. They're ridiculous. 19-12 was the score of that game. But you just kind of look at the game management, the clock management, the last play of the game. Zeke's lined up at center. What are we doing here? I know that you're setting it up to get all the people so you can lateral back and forth. But that was so, the play call was so wide open that you're barely going to get the ball off, and San Francisco is going to shut it down, which they did. So I thought that was interesting. Jerry Jones was very, you know, he was pretty upset. He's telling the media, hey, our fan base, I feel bad for our fan base. They deserve better. And you can't seem to get past that divisional round. This is where, Angel, we talk about the Nuggets all the time with Michael Malone, right? And can he get them past the middle rounds? Can he get them to the Western Conference Finals? If he can't, you do what the Warriors did, and you find your Steve Kerr. It's easier said than done, but that's what we've talked about with the Nuggets. Is if you can't get past it, you can't go to the next level. We know you're a playoff team. We know Michael Malone will get you to the playoffs every year. Can he get you over the hump? Can he get you to the finals? Can he get you to the championship? And if you can't, you need to start looking at it. Because you're with Joker, you could coach this team, Angel. And Joker would make sure this team is in the playoffs. So now you got to figure out who can make those adjustments and who can get you over the hump. So if you're the Cowboys, aren't you in that same realm? Who can get us over the hump? We know we've got the talent. We got Dak Prescott. We got Lamb. We got Gallup. We got pretty good running backs that were, everybody was getting hurt in that game. But still, on paper, you have the talent. Micah Parsons. I mean, you have really good defensive players. So how do you get over the hump? Because you and I both had Dallas beating San Francisco, didn't we? You had that too. Because you looked at the talent on this team and said, man, at their best, they could beat anybody. But you can also see them score 12 points. So how do you get consistency? They went 12-5. That's pretty good. But their five losses had you really... They lost to Washington badly. They lost to Tampa Bay at the beginning of the season badly. And they didn't lose badly to San Francisco, but the offense wasn't there. So do the Cowboys really consider Mike McCarthy? And can he get us over the hump? Or is it Dan Quinn? If you're Jerry Jones, you're not going to fire Mike McCarthy to promote Dan Quinn. You're going to fire McCarthy to hire Sean Payton. Do you see it happening?
I think it's certainly possible. I kind of mentioned it earlier. In the NFL, it seems like when you decide to go, you know, for your playoff window, for your Super Bowl window, it's usually about 3-4 years, and you have that time space to get the pieces you need and hopefully put it all together, and it ends in the Super Bowl run. For the Cowboys, it feels like this was the last of this effort with this unit of teammates. With this coaching staff, with these players, this is the end.
Yeah, and I don't have contracts and everything in front of me, but I know Dak is locked in, and I think Zeke's still locked in on that freaking contract, and obviously Micah Parsons is still a young guy. He's in his rookie contract, so you've got your four or five stars locked up. Is the window closed? And that's the thing. If you're Jerry Jones, how do you widen that window? You get a better head coach, because they're not replacing the quarterback, folks. They're not going to move on from Dak Prescott, who had two terrible, should have been three interceptions in that game. But you need to get a coach that can get the best out of him. You saw coaching take great level, high level coaching going on this weekend. I think you saw the coaching and the difference. San Francisco didn't play a perfect game, but you saw Kyle Shanahan coach a better game. You saw Taylor coach a better game in Cincinnati, in Buffalo, in that cold. I think you just saw the better coach. Andy Reid coached a better game with a one-legged Patrick Mahomes. It was a better game plan. Not by much. The Jags, A lot of respect there. They earned a lot of respect in these playoffs. Trevor Lawrence moved up in a lot of people's minds. But if I'm Dallas, I'm thinking, what are we missing? And it's probably Sean Payton, if they can give that up. And you know Jerry Jones will find it. We'll find a way to give that up, to look at the draft picks and see if it does make sense for them to overspend. Because Jerry Jones will overspend to get a guy like Sean Payton in. You don't think so? I mean, I definitely believe he would do that. And now that the Cowboys are eliminated, they are sitting at pick number 25, is that right? 26. And again, I said kind of in between that 15 to 25 range would probably be where, if I'm the Saints, I'm asking for that first round pick. Well, the Cowboys are right on the outside. They'd still make sense for it, sitting at 25, or 26, excuse me. And I think the Cowboys would go for that. NFL recap, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, some of the headlines, Mahomes battles through injury. Brock Purdy, the real deal. Trevor Lawrence, even though they lose, I think you walk away looking at that Jags team and looking at Trevor Lawrence saying, you got a guy there. There's a leader right there. I loved what he did at the end. I shared it on Facebook. You know, he's leaving the field. He goes into the tunnel and he stops, turns around, and he waits for every last person to come in after him, shakes their hands, hugs, dabs up, whatever. I know that's a little thing, but I look at that and I look at what Diggs did, and he just left in his uniform, bailed out because he was so pissed that the Bills lost. It's tough to be a leader because you can't be mad. You can't let it overtake you at the end of the game. You still got to be their leader during the game and after the game. And I got mad respect for Trevor Lawrence, a guy that had Urban Meyer last year say that he couldn't quarterback sneak it, that he couldn't sneak. He wasn't the type of quarterback that could sneak, and didn't get the best out of him at all. And Doug Peterson, too. So watch out for Jacksonville next season. Who knows? Might be one of those teams to watch, to beat, and to certainly watch out for. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Yeah, the good. Congratulations to my guy, Isaiah Stevens. Great talking to him Friday in preparation for this, but he did break that record. He is now the sole holder of the assist record for Colorado State. If he stays another year, he might break the points record, too. I don't know if he will or not. Just talking to him, he didn't say anything necessarily that would give me any kind of breaking news. But I'm going to tell you, I walk away going, maybe. Maybe. Didn't even think that was a thought 3 weeks ago. But now maybe. The bad is the loss to Wyoming. That was just a crappy game. And CSU did not look good. They made some great runs. They were down 16, down 13. Ended up losing by one, but it's still a loss. And CSU finds himself in a really tough situation for the rest of the season. The ugly? How about the Denver Nuggets last night? Listen, you're without the Joker. I get it. Another game without the Joker. You're really pushing it here to see how many games you can really win. Do I think that they're a better team than they were last year without Joker? Yes. But it's hard. They had their chances, Angel. But they were 17 of 33. Not from the three-point line, from the free throw line. 17 out of 33. They missed 16 free throws to end their 16-game home winning streak. Kind of fitting, I suppose. All you do is make four of those, three of those, you win the game. Couldn't make free throws. It was there for the taking for the Nuggets to beat OKC. That'll be fun to talk about because my podcast, my Nuggets podcast, A Pickaxe to Grind, I actually do have a pickaxe to grind tomorrow. And his name rhymes with Schmeiland, and his first name rhymes with Moans. You can do the math there with who we're talking about. All right, that'll do it for the first segment of the show. Second segment coming up next, we'll talk about our poll question. Where will Sean Payton end up next season? Head coach of the Broncos, Panthers, Texans, Cardinals. And see, I even forgot. I didn't even put the Colts in there. I put the Cowboys up there, and they don't even have an opening yet. Or just back with Fox Sports. Wait it out another year. See what happens with those Los Angeles jobs. Or if the Cowboys do stay with Mike McCarthy, maybe they waited out one more. He waits them out, too. Sexier jobs could be coming up. Sexier markets could be coming up for Sean Payton. I think he stays with Fox. I think he's going to stay with Fox. What do you guys think? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll talk about it more on the other side. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy live from the Allo Communications Studios. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Dixon says on the text line, the Cowboys are a lot like LeBron. So tired of talking about them and seeing them on every TV show. Every time you turn something on, can we maybe agree not to spend any more time talking about them until they do something? I can't agree with you on that because we're going to be talking about them as it does kind of, there is this 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of deal going on because what the Cowboys do with Mike McCarthy does impact the Broncos. So I'll make you a deal, Dixon. We don't have to talk about Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott being a center for one play and getting absolutely blown up. We don't have to talk about that. But we do have to talk about their head coaching situation. And Angel, am I reading this right? Jerry Rosberg is showing up in the 11th hour? Like, we're hearing about it anyway? That Jerry Rosberg could potentially be in the real running for this? Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos will join me tomorrow. But am I looking at this right? Jerry Jones made a push? And did, because everything I was hearing the last 2 weeks was that Rosberg was basically like, nah, I'm good. I don't want it. I had heard that he recommended Jim Caldwell get interviewed and all of that. So I was just kind of hearing it was more of a passive thing. Like, I'm here if you need me. But, you know, I didn't even hear that he was in the interview. Was he even part of the interview process? I mean, I didn't once hear this. And now we're starting to hear that he is very much... He very much wants this job, that he wants to be in consideration for this. And I guess that kind of makes me wonder, would you rather Jerry Rosberg or Sean Payton? Well, you wouldn't have to give up the draft picks. And this is where Greg Penner and George Payton screwed up, though. They could, if Rosberg is in real consideration here for the Broncos, then... They should have had more opportunities to see what kind of coach he was. I am not going to take 2 games and say that made you a great coach because I see this all the time in the league. The Jeff Saturdays of the world. I'm blanking out. Who's the Panthers interim head? Steve Wilks. Those guys can crack the code for a little bit. It's what do you do over time? But according to SI.com, the beat for the Broncos, Jerry Rosberg is interested. He expressed interest in the Broncos head coaching vacancy when he sat down for his end of season interview with ownership. And he even presented a plan. Did you ever see that episode in The Office where they're trying to hire somebody and he's like, Will Arnett, they're interviewing Will Arnett. And he's like, I got a 10-point plan. And they're like, what is it? He's like, I can give you 1 and 2 of the points of the 10-point plan. But if you hire me, I'll give you the rest. Is that what Rosberg's plan was? I have some ideas that are going to make Russell Wilson start doing great things, but I can only give you half of them. He come up with a plan. He came up with a plan. He presented this plan. He had an outline for the job. And Denver really appreciated the plan, and they said they would consider it. This was tweeted by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Jerry Rosberg, Denver's interim coach for final two games, had an end-of-season meeting with ownership in which he expressed interest in the Broncos' head coaching position. Denver appreciated the plan he outlined for the job and will consider it. Though Rosberg, who was hired to help Nathaniel Hackett manage games, isn't a favorite for the job, Denver liked how he handled his interim stint and gave him what turned into a lengthy meeting after the year. Come on, it's still not realistic, right? He's never been a head coach before, and he's in his 60s. This was the same kind of initial frustration we had with Vic Fangio.
It just sounds like, hey, George, Walter Penner Group, Jerry's here. He wants to talk to you guys for a quick minute before he packs up and leaves. You guys have a few minutes for him? Sure. Got a coffee break. Come on in, Jerry. Jerry sits down. Hey, guys, here's my plan. Had fun this year. Felt like we could do some more stuff, so here's my plan. Jerry walks out of the room, and they say, that's a plan, all right.
What is the plan? Side. What do you think the plan is?
I want to keep coaching the Broncos. So.
Like, I thought our defense was good. Let's keep going with that. Do you think Ejiro Evero has a better chance of staying on as a defensive coordinator if Rosberg's there?
It's tough. I think Evero wants a head coaching position, but he may not have enough experience just yet.
Well, and if the Broncos bring in a Sean Payton and a Dan Quinn, who knows if they'll want to keep Evero on. I've heard Dan Quinn does have a link there, obviously, so that might make sense. Here's the plan in my mind. You go with Jerry Rosberg if you go this route. Now, that's not my number one choice. My number one choice is Dan Quinn. But if you go with Rosberg, you say, we're going to give you a two-year contract. And then we're going to keep Evero on as the DC. And if you can keep growing your defense and doing what you did last year, you're going to be the heir apparent. We won't even interview. You're going to be the Dan Quinn of our Cowboys here. You're the heir apparent. That makes sense to me.
What if you did that with both the coordinators? And whichever coordinator is better
the best one?
Gets the job.
Yeah. Because they're going to have to hire a new offensive coordinator. I heard Clint Kubiak is being interviewed somewhere.
With the Jets?
The Jets.
They're interviewing everybody.
Why
at this
are
point?
They interviewing Clint Kubiak? What did he possibly do?
Well, everyone else has said no.
Well, and Outen took over and was better.
Like, there's no certainty with the Jets right now. We don't know who their quarterback is. Zach Wilson's apparently a brat, which we all kind of knew. But.
Probably not going to be Lamar because we're thinking Baltimore's going all in. But then we hear Lamar turned another contract down and. It's best drama on TV, man. Continues to be. The games are fun, but also this other stuff. Is that, I wonder if that was the plan. Hey, I'm Jerry. Nice to meet you guys in person, Greg. Hadn't seen you all year. I can do this. I can demand excellence from these guys. I can get Russell Wilson back on the right track. I know I'm not a young man. I know this is my first stint, but you guys also interviewed Ejiro Evero. And you believe in him, maybe not quite ready yet. Well, what if he gets ready while I'm here? You hired me to help Nathaniel Hackett. What if you hire me to coach this team, but to take Evero under my wing and groom him? And then I'll do this for 2 to 3 years. Let's get this team back on the right track. Let's go win a freaking Super Bowl. Let's go Gary Kubiak here, 2 years and one Super Bowl out of it. And then you hire him as my heir apparent. That's the only way I see them hiring Jerry Rosberg.
So I'm seeing three avenues where the Broncos are leaning, and it's first-time head coach, transitional coach like a Rosberg, or big-time hire, swing for the fences with Sean Payton. Which of those three do you think they're going towards?
I don't know, because Kliss tweeted out, let's see if I'm, well, I can't find it.
Is that, it concerning that, there's that they're nobody, not they have in a particular direction?
Well, Kliss tweeted out that they haven't zeroed in on anybody. That Sean Payton, as much as the Cowherds of the world and all them say, that's their favorite. Kliss, who is like married to the Broncos, has a very good relationship with them, said that Greg Penner has not zeroed in on anybody. That he is 100% going all in with the process. Now, I don't. Can deep down in his own brain that he's just not revealing, does he have someone that he's thinking of as the favorite? Maybe so. But you're keeping George Payton on your staff for what? What? Hey, what's the reason? What's the reason that George Payton is on this staff right now?
To save face, not to show other coaches or GMs that, hey, we don't really think this position has any real power.
Maybe. But what else? Like, what's his strength to the team right now? If he's not going to be hiring the coach, what do I believe he can do? I believe he can still construct a roster and, right. and retool this roster. Well, if I trade your draft picks away for Sean Payton, I have now taken the use from you because Sean Payton could probably be the GM, and I've taken all of your tools out of the tool belt. So why are you here?
Tanner had a good point this morning about Payton, and we give him this moniker that he's this great drafting GM, that he can just draft all these players wherever. And with the Payton trade, you'd be giving up some high-round picks. Tanner's thought is, oh, he's such a good drafter anyway, it doesn't matter when he gets his picks. I have a hard time believing that.
Well, he was supposed to be a good drafter. Name four. Quinn Meinerz.
Outside of the first round?
Turned out Quinn Meinerz wasn't his pick. Yeah, that was his pick. Name the guys in the deeper rounds that have really been good for Denver. I mean, that's the big thing, is can he dig deep? And that's yet to be seen, really.
So just looking at, you got Greg Dulcich.
Unknown.
Damari Mathis.
Not bad.
Iomia Uwazu. I'm not even
Uwuzie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Uwuzurike. DeLaron Turner Yell. Montrell Washington.
No.
I don't know any of those.
No. Montrell was a returner. He wasn't good.
Baron Browning.
Yeah.
Caden Stearns.
Jamar Johnson, Seth Williams, Carey. So far, what we've seen from his two draft classes is, okay, Patrick Surtain, awesome. Javonte Williams, pretty good, got hurt. Quinn Meinerz, he'll probably be one of the only starters returning. Baron Browning, good. Okay. What were those? 1, 2, and 3. Those were first, second, and third rounds. The next year, Nick Benito was second. He's been a dud, major dud so far. Greg Dulcich showed some promise, but got hurt a lot. Damari Mathis, like we said, that's the thing. First off, if you trade the draft picks to Sean Payton, for Sean Payton, bye-bye George Payton. We can't have two Paytons. That's confusing. But Sean Payton is in this realm of he can be the GM. Dude, I read it over Twitter this weekend. Like, whoever the finalists are, you know what George Payton will not be in on the meeting for the final interviews. You know what his job will be when they get here? To show them around. To take them on the tour. I don't know. That reads weird to me. He's now the tour guide. I'm going to sit down with them in a little bit. George, I'll tell you what, I'm just trying to finish up with Dan here. Just show Sean around. Show him the facility. Make him comfortable with the situation. This thing, man, I don't know. And the idea that, oh, well, we'll keep them both. We'll keep both Paytons. And we'll let George Payton draft. It ain't going to be George Payton doing the drafting. It's going to be Sean Payton pulling the trigger. That's the thing of all of this, guys, is if Sean Payton is here, you're more than likely moving on from George Payton, which is probably okay. I'm not fighting for George Payton. He's fallen out of grace very quickly in Broncos country. Just takes a season, half a season for that to happen. But there's just so many things here that make this seem like it's not the right decision. And then, again, hearing that Greg Penner is not really going one way or the other with this hire, like he still hasn't zeroed in on it. And you asked me earlier, Angel, am I concerned that there's no clear direction? Is it veteran head coach like a Sean Payton, Dan Quinn? Is it rookie head coach like a D'Amico Ryans or Yujiro Evero? Or is it a transition coach, which would also be a rookie head coach if you go with Jerry Rosberg? Which direction do you think the Broncos will go? I have no clue. I don't think they'll go D'Amico Ryans. I don't think they'll go Yujiro Evero. I just can't see them risking it there. Rosberg is the only rookie, air quotes, rookie head coach that might really be in the mix here. And David Shaw, too. But Rosberg, because of the last two games. And he did correct Nathaniel Hackett's in-game management stuff. It got fixed after Rosberg jumped on the staff. I don't know, man. Kind of leaning toward this idea of Rosberg and taking Evero under his wing, and maybe that's what you do. Because you can't mortgage your future again for the second time in a year. It wasn't long ago that you just traded for Russell Wilson and gave up all the draft picks. You're going to go 2 years in a row of giving up multiple draft picks for, hopefully, Russell Wilson and Sean Payton can work out. You could set this organization back even further than it already is. And again, you bring Sean Payton in, you're still assuming that Russell Wilson is going to get it right. I'm telling you right now, if Russell Wilson gets it right, this whole fixable thing, I don't think it's that. I think Hackett messed him up. I don't think he needs fixed. He just needs an offense that's not ridiculous. He needs an offense that fits Russell Wilson. If you find an offense that fits Russell Wilson, and Rosberg can do that, then you don't need Sean Payton. You don't need this historically good coach. You just need somebody that can get the plays in on time. Somebody that knows when to go for it on fourth and five. Somebody that knows when to run the ball instead of go for a touchdown strike. Somebody that can be a little firm as a head coach. That's all you need. You don't need to go all in on draft picks. 41 minutes after 11 o'clock. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
All right, Angel. You're at least happy today because the Bills are out. You're thinking maybe their window is shut, not closing, is shut. The Bills go from the Super Bowl favorite darlings at the beginning of the season and pretty much throughout the course of the season to one of your star players who thought had a good relationship with your quarterback. He's out the door like basically in his shoulder pads. Doesn't even want to sit down and listen to the coaches talk. You had to have a practice team guy go get him and bring him back. It was Duke Johnson's on their practice squad. He had to go get him and bring him back and say, sit in there for this. You got all this stuff going on, and you're thinking, that's it. Their goose is cooked. Bills are done.
Yeah, I think their Super Bowl window is closed. I think you only get maybe 3 years with your team when you start to make that push. We saw back in 2020 when they got Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen had that huge leap. And everyone thought the next year, last year, was going to be the year the Bills were going to do it. And it looked like they could have done it until they ran into Chiefs and 13 seconds. And that was the team to do it. This year, they try to run it back, put some more pieces in with Von Miller, stuff like that. He gets hurt, obviously.
But the team around you
lost that luster, lost that fear that the offense would give you without Diggs and Allen connection. They didn't have much of a running game. They have 7+ potential free agents coming up, including Poyer and Tremaine Edmonds, their linebackers. So they're going to have to make some moves in the offseason. Their defensive coordinator's probably gone. If you want to stick around with the OC again, you could probably do that. If you want a consistency with Josh Allen, how much was Josh Allen's success Brian Daboll? And how much has success has he brought to Daniel
Jones? Allen was really good. I would say I started to see some cracks this year in the Lions game and the Patriots game. Obviously, the Dolphins game was tight, and then the Dolphins game in the playoffs was tight. So I started to see some cracks there. I don't know. Right now, Bills are going to be licking their wounds for a while. But I'm just curious. Yeah, they got a lot of work to do with free agency and stuff, but a lot of this offense is based on Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, their relationship. And he looked pissed. You saw a clip of Josh on the sidelines looking at his iPad, and then Diggs is just screaming at him, saying something. Allen's not looking up. That happened. And then at the end of the game, Diggs is out. He just takes off. For what I understand, he didn't even, like, get undressed or anything. He just left. Duke Johnson's like, dude, you got to come back. You're a team leader, man. This is a bad look, bad look, bad look. He comes back, and he's only back for like 4 minutes and then leaves. McDermott said he was there at the end. That's all that matters. That's what matters most. He came back into the locker room when I addressed the team. That's what matters most. I mean, he left.
You wonder about the psyche of a locker room, and, you know, minus the DeMar Hamlin stuff, because obviously that's different and that weighs on you a lot differently. But do you think the expectations for the Bills the last couple of years, maybe they fed into it a little too much?
I think the expectations, perhaps, yes. I don't know if they fed into it, but it's a lot of pressure. When you're the favorite,
favorite since week one.
Yeah. So you're the favorite there. Then you're going up against Cincinnati in a huge regular season game, and then you have all the DeMar Hamlin stuff happen. I mean, you saw the players. You saw how emotional they were. They were crying. They were bawling their eyes out. Rightfully so. I would have been doing the same thing. They were terrified. And so I'm not making an excuse because it's football. You all got to get up and be ready to play. But it is also unprecedented. We'd never seen anything like that with what we saw with DeMar Hamlin. So I do wonder mentally if that also wore them down, dealing with all of that, where they get so high up. But it's also like you get so high up because he's coming back. Maybe you pushed out all that energy, and then what comes back down is just pure exhaustion.
Do you think their game against the Dolphins had any effect? Or maybe they weren't expecting that to be a close game?
I think they got found out against the Dolphins, and they didn't, I mean, not taken away, but dude, the Dolphins quarterback was you or something, Angel. Zach Brophy? I'll never learn his name, man. I don't need to, right? Tua's coming back. I don't need to learn Zach Brophy's name. I think they got found out. I don't think the Bills were as good 75-80% of the way through the season. Then you add the DeMar Hamlin thing, and then they thought they'd just come out and kill the Dolphins. That didn't happen. And they get worked at home in their cold turf. And I know Cincinnati's no stranger to cold weather, but that's their game. This was their game. Everything set up perfectly for this game. For Buffalo. And they got found out a little bit. 51 minutes after the hour. Your thoughts on all things divisional round of the playoffs. We have the AFC and NFC championship set. More on the Broncos coaching search. The Nuggets. Is there a little bit of a concern after their first loss in, what, 10 games, 9 games? We'll talk about all that coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back into the whole show. If you guys want to get involved in the conversation, the First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Congratulations to Dalton Connect, who got my whole show player of the week this week. Yeah. Pumped for him, man. That's just a heck of a basketball player that seems to be getting better and better every single game, and the Bears get a much-needed win against Idaho. Game was tied at 60 with like 3 minutes left or whatever, and UNC did what, you know, Dalen Kuntz has talked to us a lot about what they couldn't do, and that was finish. And they finished in that game. They came up with the big stops, the big scores, got to the free throw line, made their free throws, and they end up winning that game. So we'll talk about college basketball, the state of college basketball hoops, and what we saw over the weekend. How about Ed Lamb for UNC football? I'm starting to hear a lot statewide about this guy and how maybe he's steadily getting this team where maybe we should be paying attention to it. So we'll be talking about Ed Lamb. Maybe we can get him back on the show at some point, too. Would look forward to that. Also, the story of with Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, Coben Porter, that situation is not good. That's why Michael didn't play last night, so we'll discuss that on the other side as well. Lunch Rush is right around the corner. What happened with Shannon Sharpe and the Grizzlies? And whose back does LeBron James have? As if that matters. Talk about it next. It's the whole show. powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.